Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking Newspaper, number 1840, being read on Tuesday, the 1st of October 2024. I'm Paul Rossiter, your editor, standing in for Marion Hines, with readers Paula Hughes, Gillian Crooks, and Geoffrey Ogden, and myself. And now for the news. We start with news from Sidmouth and move on to Honiton via Sidbury and Tipton St John, then over to Branscombe and Seaton before rounding off part one with features from Exeter.
Hello, it's Paula Hughes with some news from Sidmouth. Visit Sidmouth is saying the town has had a busy summer season with a number of events happening and has reported lots of tourists. Tim Shardlow, manager of the Information Centre, updated councillors on work throughout summer at the latest Sidmouth Town Council Tourism and Economy Committee meeting on September the 18th. Visit Sidmouth said that over the three summer months, visitor footfall averaged 100 per day, including a noticeable number of American, Australian and Scandinavians. Many tourists in Sidmouth for the first time said they loved the town's appearance, standards of accommodation and shopping centre, and said they will be returning. Mr. Shardlow said his team had been involved in a large variety of events which attracted holidaymakers and residents. Since June, events in and around Sidmouth included the Biodiversity Festival, Manor Pavilion Summer Play Season, Town Band Concerts, the Folk Festival, the Regatta, Sidbury Fair, Sidmouth Walking Festival, Sidmouth Classic Car Show, Carnival Week, and the Science Festival. He said the events were in addition to museums, land and water sports, plus quality coast and country visitor attractions, easily accessible from Sidmouth. He said, this helped promote and maintain Sidmouth's appeal for first-time and returning visitors. It was interesting to meet the former controller of the ship which delivered rocks for our two offshore breakwater islands, who has returned on holiday to view their durability. I was also pleased to see at the D-Day commemoration on the Esplanade an old friend who has spent regular holidays at hotels in Sidmouth since the 1970s. We have found the various festivals, events and entertainments offered locally meet the wishes of visitors for both relaxation and activity. Our town maps are widely distributed, including the additional information on local walks, with the design, style and content now followed in similar form by Ottery St Mary and Exeter. Our main source of income is commission on folk festival tickets and programmes. Early bird season tickets for the 2025 event are already available, and Mr Shardlow said, we have made sales this year of £70,800. This year's 70th festival was featured on two BBC Radio 2 programmes, two films shown at the Radway Cinema, and an excellent five-day display at the new SVA premises in Church Street. Visit Sidmouth now also offers branded merchandise. The SVA Museum books, calendars and walking maps of the area. Bus timetables are now available at the centre to meet the noticeable increase in public transport use. Mr Shardlow said, work throughout the season by Sidmouth in Bloom is praised by visitors and residents, and we hope for recognition by future awards. In the months ahead, we will have a close view of major works in the Ham area by South West Water and the redevelopment of the Drill Hall. A new rag rug flower workshop is starting at Sidmouth Craft Hub next month. The hub opened at 38 Mill Street, Sidmouth in July as a place for crafters to come in Sidmouth is to make things. The Rag Rug event is for anyone who enjoys being creative with textiles or would like to learn a new skill that has a fascinating social history. The workshop will feature traditional rag rug techniques with rag rug artist Sally Light, also known as Bodkin Beak, on Tuesday, October the 15th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sally said, "Using beautiful waste fabrics supplied for free by me, or your own fabrics if you prefer. Most fabrics are usable, though upholstery or stiff fabrics are not recommended. Learn three different rag rug techniques while creating beautiful flower brooches to take home with you. This workshop gives a modern, creative spin on the sustainable make, do and mend craft." Sidmouth's Chamber Choir, St. David's Singers, will be performing at the Methodist Church in October. Named the Director's Choice, the show's programme has been chosen by Mark Perry to celebrate his retirement as Director of the Choir. The show is free, though a retiring donation in aid of Force Cancer Charity will be accepted. The show is being supported by Fords of Sidmouth. Last year's show, named the Summer Serenade, saw singers from across East and Mid-Devon perform a varied programme of sacred and secular work, also under the direction of Mark Perry. The event will help the Force Cancer Support Charity in Exeter, as it continues to support many local people with delayed cancer diagnoses. It takes place from 7 p.m. on Monday, October the 7th, at Sidmouth Methodist Church. If you shop at Waitrose, you may notice a selection of toppers on the postbox by the front door. A new one appeared on Monday, which raises awareness of the work of Sidmouth Hospice at Home. Knitted by one Sidmouth crafter, who wishes to remain anonymous, the topper features two specialist palliative care nurses whose badges features the word faith and hope. There are also intertwined hands, which the crafter says represents how we hold the hands of those in our care. The knitted characters help raise awareness around the hospice service during Hospice UK's Hospice Care Week, a national campaign which runs from October the 7th to 13th. A spokesman for Sidmouth Hospice at Home said, "The postbox toppers at Waitrose are always a delight, but there's an extra special one in place. It's been some time in planning and a great deal of time in production, so please show your appreciation."
Hello, this is Geoffrey with news from Honiton, Sidbury and Tipton St John. A gallery has secured new funding to work with young people in the arts. Thelma Elbert Gallery, that's THG, has been awarded a £29,000 grant from the Arts Council England for its Create Our Space programme. The programme aims to provide opportunities for young people in East Devon, aged 12 to 25, to engage with arts, culture and climate. This includes those with disabilities, particularly hidden ones. The new programme will be rooted firmly within the community, with young people as the decision makers. They will work with artists to explore ways to respond to environmental themes, as well as develop a creative programme at THG and across East Devon. THG will continue their youth network and recruit a student intern as an engagement coordinator to produce off-site projects, events and workshops. Building on the success of THG's touring art space, the Creative Cabin, a new Creative Cabin, will be introduced. This will be a more mobile and sustainable version, bringing art activities to rurally isolated communities. An annual friendly golf match took place between the ladies' committees of Honiton and Taunton and Pickeridge Golf Clubs, continuing a tradition that's been going on for 55 years, writes David Carnell. This year's game was played at Honiton on September the 16th. It was not just a competition, but a social occasion with mixed teams from both golf clubs. Honiton Ladies captain Cathy Pawley presented boxes of chocolates to the winning team of Wendy Abraham from Honiton and Georgia Richards from Taunton and Pickeridge, capping off the event after a shared meal. In other golfing news, Tracy Smith emerged victorious in the Marker Cup, a competition Honiton Ladies have taken part in over the last 2 weeks. Sidbury C of E Primary School in Church Street, Sidbury, is hosting its first Stay and Play this term. All children are welcome up to school age 4. Sessions will take place from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Thursday, October the 17th, Thursday, November the 7th, and Thursday, October the 28th. Refreshments are available on arrival, and visitors are asked to meet at the main school reception. A spokesman for the school said, "We would love to welcome you and your little ones to our school for our Stay and Play sessions this term. This is a wonderful opportunity to meet other parents and carers and for your child to experience a new environment." Sidbury Primary School's last Ofsted inspection was in April 2023, where it was rated as good in all areas. A care home resident has celebrated her 100th birthday. Sundial Care Home in Tipton St John, where she now lives, threw Joan Farmer a birthday party. The party featured a cake made by care assistant Sue Smith, as well as handmade birthday cards from the children at Tipton St John Primary School. Joan also received a congratulatory birthday telegram from King Charles and Queen Camilla. Joan, who's lived through World War II, said, "I'm very grateful to have made it to 100. She was born in Levensloo, Manchester. When asked about her secret to a long life, she replied, "Smiling lots." Joan grew up in Manchester with her parents and older brother, and after earning a scholarship to Manchester High School, she moved to Stockport with her family. There she attended Stockport College to study bookkeeping, shorthand and typing. She began her career at McVinnie & Price and later worked for a coal firm until the Manchester Blitz forced her to relocate. At 18, Joan joined the Women's Auxiliary Territorial Service, the ATS, in 1942, completing an army driving course and mastering saloon cars, ambulances and 10-ton lorries. She quickly advanced in the ATS, becoming a teleprinter operator in the Signal Corps at the London War Office. Joan played a key role in wartime communications during critical moments like D-Day, helping to relay secret information from the front lines. Despite the hardship of being separated from her beloved Reg, an RAF pilot, Joan remained committed to her duties. They reunited in London and married shortly after the war ended on September the 1st, 1945. Settling in Reddish, Stockport, they welcomed their son Anthony in September 1946 and daughter Susan in January 1950. Around this time, Joan received her War Medal in recognition of service in the war 1939-1945. Joan and her husband Reg enjoyed their early retirement in North Cornwall with their daughter Susan and her growing family. Joan has 4 grandsons, 3 great-grandsons and 3 great-granddaughters. Joan has made many friends with fellow residents. She enjoys participating in the home's activities, spending time in the garden, and her regular visits from Susan.
Hello, this is Gillian with news from Branscombe and Seaton. A blacksmith helping to keep the tradition alive has won a national award for the 6th year in a row. Simon Hall, the tenant blacksmith at the National Trust Branscombe Forge, has been crowned the National Live Forging Champion for the 6th successive year. The National Blacksmiths competition is divided into 2 categories, where the metalwork is made at a county show, live, and static, where the piece can be made previously and taken into the show to be judged. Simon successfully defended his title by making a boot puller in 60 minutes as a live demonstration at the Dorset County Show. He said, "Competing at county shows is a fantastic way to meet blacksmiths from across the country. It's a good opportunity to talk about new design ideas and techniques. Most of the shows now have a visitor vote, which helps us to find out what the public like to see and gives us new ideas, some of which have developed into stock items available in the showroom." Day to day, Simon works at Branscombe Forge, which was built in the 18th century. and the National Trust believes it is the oldest thatched working forge in England. Simon said, "Working at Branscombe Forge is pretty amazing, and it's an honour to keep the traditional skills of the blacksmith alive inside a building with so much history. Blacksmiths have been in my family for generations, with my granddad, father and uncle, all blacksmiths. My interest was ignited when I was 8, watching my father at work in the forge. I took it up as a hobby in my teens and became a full-time blacksmith about 15 years ago. Last month saw a record number of ospreys fishing in the Axe estuary at Seaton, which were visible from the Tower Hide at Seaton Wetlands. Visitors enjoyed a spectacular close-up views of these iconic birds, plunging into the waters looking for grey mullet, a fish species which feeds near the water surface, which is ideal for these birds as they build up energy reserves before their southern migration. There are hopes to help osprey become regular residents. James Chubb, Countryside Manager for the EDDC, explained, "We have plans to install nesting platforms for the estuary this winter, in the hope that they might become a summer resident in the Axe estuary. Last year, we saw the first ever successful breeding of avocet in Devon. Here at Seaton Wetlands, and to add osprey to the list, would be a sensational achievement. Seaton Wetlands are on the lookout for volunteers. For more information about volunteering at the Discovery Hut, please contact the Countryside team via email at wild@eastdevon.gov.uk or to find out more at www.wildeastdevon.co.uk/nature-reserves/seaton-wetlands. Farway and Branscombe CE Primary Schools joined the Link Academy Trust in September. In an update to children and parents this week, headteacher Ashley Tubbs said, "We are really looking forward to growing and expanding the schools with their support and expertise. With the Academy's help, the school has just bought a minibus for the schools. The new bus will be used to transport the children between the schools for special events, trips, and other visits. The head is hoping it can be used to offer a free bus service to Branscombe CE Primary initially, then open this up to Farway too." The head teacher said, "We are thrilled to have this provision for our children, and we will definitely be making the most of it. One of our main priorities is to build pupil numbers at both schools."
This is Paul with some items from Exeter. Wetherspoon has been forced to remove a picture of J.K. Rowling from a pub in Exeter after it was damaged. For many years, the author's portrait has been hung up alongside other celebrities and historic figures with connections to the city, including Charles Dickens, Tommy Cooper, and Sir Francis Drake. The framed photo was a nod to the Harry Potter writer's time at the University of Exeter, where she studied French and classics in the 1980s. She has remained one of the most well-known people to have studied in Exeter, but it seems the writer's connection to the city is not necessarily celebrated. Pubgoers have recently noticed there is a gap where Rowling's portrait was at the Chevalier Inn on 4th Street. Wetherspoon has confirmed it took the photo down because it was defaced, but has promised to replace it. Wetherspoon spokesman Eddie Gershon said the picture was removed as it was unfortunately vandalised. Wetherspoon will replace it with the same or similar picture of J.K. Rowling as soon as possible. Rowling has been criticised in recent years for her views on transgender. Exeter's favourite book has been revealed after a competition organised to celebrate the city's fifth year of being a UNESCO City of Literature. Exeter City of Literature organised the City Reads campaign, which saw J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings announced as the winner. The charity said it was a fitting victor given its special connection to Exeter, with the inspiration for Middle Earth stemming from the Exeter Book, a 10th century anthology of Anglo-Saxon poetry and riddles that resides at Exeter Cathedral. Readers said they voted for the globally lauded trilogy thanks to the Lord of the Rings themes of escapism and well-being, an undeniable West Country feeling, and JRR's importance in the fantasy genre. During City Reads, almost 200 books were submitted from local businesses. The public then voted for their favourite from the shortlist, which also included Torbay's Agatha Christie with Murder on the Orient Express, Becky Chambers' beloved sci-fi adventure The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, and R.F. Kuang's modern fantasy Babel. Caleb Azuma Nelson's contemporary fiction Open Water and hugely successful graphic novel Heartstopper by Alice Osman, which received an honorary mention. To further Exeter City of Literature's mission to make reading accessible and enjoyable for all, the charity and its business sponsors will provide free books from the shortlist to neighbourhoods with low literacy levels throughout the city. Chris Smith, publishing director at HarperCollins, J.R.R. Tolkien's worldwide publisher, said it is fitting that in the 70th anniversary year since Tolkien's masterwork was first published, it is being acclaimed in this way. Its author could have little idea that the book's appeal would endure into the 21st century, for, as is well known, Tolkien's own interest lay in the languages and literature of the past. Yet, as a former undergraduate of Exeter College, Oxford, I believe he would have appreciated the particular honour of his work being acknowledged by such a venerable city as Exeter, itself home to the Exeter Book, a volume with which Tolkien was very familiar. A Devon community choir is appealing for businesses to help fund a charity concert. La La Choirs, which has more than 350 members from across Devon, is calling for sponsorship to aid this year's Christmas fundraising performance at Exeter Cathedral. Under the guidance of choir mistress and musical director Samantha Abrahams, La La Choirs has spent the last 16 years raising more than £269,000 for various charities across the South West. The choir has four branches, in Ottery St Mary, Exmouth, Exeter and Plymouth. This summer, these branches collectively raised £9,500 through public performances for Jeremiah's Journey, Hospice Care, Esteem Exmouth and Sidwell Street Methodist Church. This year, La La Choirs is gearing up to perform once more at the Cathedral for an audience of 700 people. Organisers say the concert, known for its festive spirit and remarkable music, is an anticipated event in Devon's Christmas calendar. Proceeds from this year's concert will support Fear Free, a charity that aids families who have endured domestic or sexual abuse. To bring this event to fruition, La La Choirs is seeking £3,000 in sponsorship from businesses. Businesses are being offered a range of benefits in return for their sponsorship. These include the chance to enhance visibility at a prominent event in one of Devon's most famous venues, and the opportunity to support the community. For further information or to offer support as a business or individual, contact Sam at info@lalachoirs.co.uk. And now for some news of what's on in the coming weeks. On Saturday the 5th of October, the Word Forest Bring and Share Vegan Lunch will take place at the Old Meeting Unitarian Chapel, Lee Brown Room, at the top of the High Street in Sidmouth. The vegan lunch is a great opportunity to enjoy delicious food, meet new friends and learn more about plant-based dishes. Funds raised from it can help contact the climate crisis. And that's on Saturday the 5th of October. On Tuesday the 8th of October, the English Miniatures from the Tudors to the Victorians is the first lecture of a new season of at the Beehive in Honiton, the Honiton Arts Society. This is at 2 p.m. Okay. On Thursday the 10th of October, at the Gateway Theatre in 4 Street, Seaton, there will be Henry Blofeld giving a talk called My Dear Old Things at 7:30. This is to raise funds for Seaton Cricket Club. Henry Blofeld has agreed to bring his My Dear Old Things stage show to the Gateway Theatre in Seaton, and to reflect on a truly extraordinary life in cricket and other areas. On Saturday the 12th of October, Seaton Repair Cafe returns at 10 a.m. and this provides a place where you can bring in broken items and have them fixed by skilled volunteers. This will be held on the second Saturday of every month at Seaton Library at 23 Queen Street, Seaton. Also from the 11th to the 13th of October in Beer, there is a Rhythm and Blues Music Festival at multiple venues, and it will be a full weekend of superb music. On the 12th of October at Sidmouth Parish Church, there will be music from Philip Leslie, including Rachmaninoff, Baines and Mussorgsky. This will be at 3 p.m. And from the 4th to the 13th of October, Sidmouth Science Festival takes place around the town of Sidmouth, based at Kennaway House. And you'll hear more details about this in the next piece of news. In part two, we have more news from Sidmouth, then Ottery St Mary and East Devon, followed by articles about the health of the River Sid and a preview of Sidmouth Science Festival. And we'll be concluding with a roundup of local sports.
And here's some more news from Sidmouth. A signature Southwest staple of the motoring calendar returned with the 12th annual Sidmouth Classic Car Show on September the 21st, writes Jamie Ellis. Everything from a Porsche 911 to Ford Capri featured among 300 motors on display during the unexpectedly sunny day. Mick Sansom's 1993 Saab 900 Turbo Ruby Edition, number 39 of just 150 made, displayed Swedish flags from its windows and a collection of model Saabs on the parcel shelf, detailing the evolution of the quirky car brand from 1949 to 2012. Parked opposite was Richard Wyatt's 1958 MGA, stripped down to the chassis 10 years ago when undergoing an extensive restoration, during which time the colour was changed from baby blue to British Racing Green. Paul and Jonas Clay, a father and son, Triumph duo, displayed their Stag and Spitfire. Paul brought his 1976 Brunswick Green Stag in 2019 and underwent an 18-month process returning it to its former glory after it had been off the road for 17 years. The show can also throw up surprising reunions. Jonas's yellow Spitfire turned out to be the very car one of the show's visitors had bought in 1990 and hadn't seen for 30 years. Alongside the picnic hampers and Pims was the Team Hunt Historic Racing, 1975 Mini Cooper S, originally used as a school run hatchback before being converted into a specialist rally racer. I was offered the opportunity to sit in the snug interior of Tom Chandler's 1973 Volvo 1800 ES. Tom restored the car upon first buying it 36 years ago, using it as his daily drive for a period. Some of the owners were relatively new to the Sidmouth show. Dave Dangerfield has owned his 1980 Ford Escort RS2000 for just 2 years. Dave said, "The biggest benefit of car ownership is the fact that it connects people together. I know people who have travelled all the way from Birmingham and Essex to be here today." The annual show is organised by Sidmouth Chamber of Commerce and supported by Devon Cat Crashbox and Classic Car Club. Providing musical accompaniment to the day's events were City Stream Jazz and the close vintage harmony trio, the Liberty Sisters. Herald publisher NewsQuest is beginning weekly Meet the Reporter sessions in Exmouth and Sidmouth libraries, starting from Friday, October the 4th. For the first session, Sidmouth Herald and Exmouth Journal reporter Adam Manning will be in Sidmouth Library from around 9:30 a.m. until around 4 p.m. The following week, he will be at Exmouth Library at 40 Exeter Road, Exmouth. This schedule will continue throughout the year. People can feel free to pop along and have a chat about any potential stories they may have. There will be space to sit and discuss in a quiet setting. It is hoped that by having a reporter readily available in the town, we can stay up to date with all the new businesses and events. If you are interested in having a story or a review written about your business, drop in throughout the day. If our reporter is unavailable for any reason, feel free to drop him an email at adam.manning@newsquest.co.uk. South West Water has updated Sidmouth Town Council on work to add sewer improvements around the Ham. At the most recent Sidmouth Town Council meeting, representatives for South West Water, Charlie Ford and Kathy Merchant, told councillors about the project and the installation of a new tank at the Ham. The work they are doing at the Ham, due to start in October, is split into four parts and is currently in the design phase. South West Water explains the project. The first part is infiltration, which is water from manhole covers. To stop infiltration, we'll be lining, repairing, and replacing our pipes and manhole covers in hotspot areas. We call this rehabilitation work. The second part is building a bigger storm overflow in the Ham. The third is building new sewers, which has one to hold the foul flows and one to hold surface water. The last part is significantly reducing reliance on the storm overflows in Sidmouth and investing in their maintenance, upgrading their screens and relocating our monitoring chambers. A spokesman for South West Water said this work will help reduce the impact of overflows on the environment and allow us to better monitor, check and maintain the overflows. But we know that sometimes the sewer system is struggling to cope. Our investigations tell us that this is for a number of reasons, including population growth in the area, groundwater entering the sewers, and the age of some of our assets. We're on a mission to reduce the impact the town's sewerage system is having on the environment. We've done a lot of investigating and surveying to find the best solution for Sidmouth's sewerage system. Some of those are still ongoing, and we've got others planned as the scheme moves forward. South West Water said teams are working fast to reduce spills in Sidmouth. Sidmouth has enjoyed excellent bathing water for many years now. Find out more about the work at www.southwestwater.co.uk/Sidmouth-sewer-improvements. Sidmouth-based Big D Studios are currently in production of a feature-length suspense drama which has an anti-bullying message as its core. We were filming some scenes with the lead junior cast recruited from Sidmouth Amateur Dramatic Society in the Bies on September the 14th, and we would like to extend our thanks to members of the public who were very cooperative with our request to stop their walks and bike rides for a minute or two in order to allow us to film, and for showing such an interest in their project, said Steve Watts of Big D Studios.
It's Geoffrey again with items from Ottery St Mary and across East Devon. A former shop in Ottery St Mary could be converted into a house. One Broad Street could become a two-storey dwelling if plans are approved by East Devon District Council, but part of the ground floor would still be used for retail. application 24/18/17/FUL, asks for permission for a part change of use to the site from ground floor commercial shop and ground floor and first floor offices to a two-storey dwelling, but the remaining ground floor space would be retained as a commercial shop. The downstairs retail space used to be occupied by Ashley Crane. The living and kitchen space for the house will be downstairs. Upstairs will have one bedroom, a study, storage and a bathroom. Enough space, says the application, for a two-person house. The application says the plans have been sympathetically developed to ensure that no new openings or major changes to the external appearance are proposed. All existing window and door openings are to be retained, with new fenestration proposed, which will be subject to Conservation Officer approval. The retention of the existing ground floor commercial shop maintains the use within the existing shop front and feature bay window. Excitement was in the air as children got to try out the new pump track in Cranbrook at the weekend. The track is built for all levels of bicycle, BMX and scooter riders, roller skaters or skateboarders, and is free to use. It provides a new opportunity for residents of all age to engage in physical activity while also promoting a sense of community and fun. The opening day saw a series of jaw-dropping demonstrations by professional BMX riders, capturing the attention of spectators both young and old. The atmosphere was filled with energy as local children, eager to test the track for the first time, took part in games and competitions, pushing their skills to the limit. Co-funded through a partnership between Cranbrook Town Council, East Devon District Council and Move More Cranbrook, a Sports England grants programme, Cranbrook Pump Track is the latest addition to the town's growing efforts to provide residents with accessible ways to stay active. It is managed by the Town Council. Councillor Les Bayliss, Town Council Chairman, said this new addition to Cranbrook is a fantastic milestone for the community. It's wonderful to see people enjoying the pump track and other amenities. This year's Budleigh Salterton Literary Festival once again saw 5 days of entertainment for audiences, with talks from top authors as well as a range of free entertainment from opera to folk singers. With a stellar lineup of authors, thought-provoking discussions and engaging events, the festival continues to solidify its place as one of the premier literary events in the region. This year saw famous names such as Jonathan Dimbleby, Liz Earle, the Reverend Richard Coles, Sarah Rainsford, Rick Stein and Robert Harris visit the town. The festival also provided opportunities for local riders and up-and-coming authors. There was a full programme of family events and workshops, alongside a weekend of free family fun in the mini marquee on the green. Festival Committee Chair Sue Briggs said, "It's been a wonderful 5 days here in Budleigh. Thanks to everyone who came along, to our sponsors and supporters, and special thanks to our team of volunteers who worked so hard to ensure everything goes smoothly during festival week. This is the last festival for our current artistic director, Annie Ashworth, who has brought us so many memorable moments, not just this year, but just over the last 7 years. She's been instrumental in developing our festival, so we are all very grateful to her and wish her all the best." The East Devon District Council, EDDC, Countryside team is celebrating a successful summer of Wild East Devon events. The team, along with partner organisations, delivered a range of activities, including bat walks, canoe safaris, bat box building, and children's holiday clubs. The events are aimed at encouraging residents and visitors to spend time outdoors and learn about East Devon's landscape and wildlife. Countryside manager James Chubb said, "The varied Wild East Devon events programme provides people of all ages the chance to explore and connect with our natural environment. We were thrilled to see such a positive response, especially to our sell-out week-long holiday club, which inspired young people to nurture and care for the natural world. Our bat and nightjar walks were also a big hit, offering participants the opportunity to encounter these special creatures and learn more about them from our expert rangers. The children's events programme was led by education ranger Penny Evans, with the aim of instilling a love for the outdoors in the next generation. EDDC's portfolio holder for the Coast Country and Environment, Councillor Jeff Young, praised the programme. He said the countryside team events are all a fantastic way for residents and visitors to discover more about our remarkable countryside and the conservation efforts undertaken by the team and their volunteers throughout the year to protect our local nature reserves and the wildlife we share it with. Assistant Ranger Ben Morgan Brown led a series of bat walks at Seaton Wetlands, where people enjoyed watching the creatures and listening to their calls using bat detectors. 10 species of bats were heard on the walks, including the rare greater and lesser horseshoe species. As summer comes to an end, the Countryside team is preparing for the Wild East Devon Autumn and Winter Events programme. People can stay updated on upcoming events by following at Wild East Devon on social media.
Sid Valley Science and Nature. Ed Dolphin of Sid Valley Biodiversity Group writes, "Volunteers from the River Sid catchment group were delighted when a recent electrofishing survey of the river catchment revealed the presence of brook lampreys, eel-like fish, so ancient and primitive they have not evolved jaws nor paired fins. Although harmless filter feeders, their cousins, river and sea lampreys, are blood-sucking parasites that lash onto fish with a mouth sucker lined with the rings of teeth. Finding the lampreys during the river survey was a pleasant surprise. There used to be a population by the Fortescue Bridge, but the construction of the new bridge destroyed the sediment beds needed by the young fish. The electrofishing survey is part of the work of the New River Sid Catchment Group, an offshoot of the biodiversity group working with local landowners, river charities and the Environment Agency to improve the quality of our river system, including its fish population, and slowing down the flashes that we suffer after heavy rain. The first stages of the project involves finding out what we already have. Citizen scientist volunteers have been making regular surveys of the water quality and populations of river fly invertebrates at several locations across the catchment. Checking the fish populations is more difficult and has to be done by professionals. Thanks to a generous private benefactor, a team from West Country Rivers Trust has carried out 2 electrofishing surveys, one in 2023 and one earlier this month. A carefully controlled electric charge is passed between 2 electrodes in the river, and any fish in the area are stunned and netted. They are then recorded, allowed to recover and return to the river. When done properly, the fish suffer no ill effects from this, hence the need for trained professionals. The River Sid used to be a spawning ground for salmon, but the last time one was seen was in 2019. The river system has a small resident population of brown or sea trout, but there are a number of barriers to new sea fish wanting to reach the excellent spawning grounds that still exist in the upper reaches of the river system. One aim of the project is to reduce these barriers, perhaps even bypassing the formidable school weir in the Bies, but that is one long-term aim. The River Sid and its tributaries such as Snod Brook and Roncombe Stream have potential to be excellent waterways with good populations of invertebrates and fish. But the current surveys reveal a less than positive picture. Last year, the best we could manage was one of the 6 survey sites rated as fair for its fish population. This was in the upper reaches beyond Sidbury. A full report on this year's results will be available soon, but the presence of the brook lampreys is a hopeful sign, and the River Sid Catchment Group looks forward to reporting more successes in years to come. The 10-day Sidmouth Science Festival returns this month, and there are plenty of reasons to visit, says one of its organisers, Elizabeth Bramley. Hands-on experiments. The variety of activity ensures that there's something for everyone, from budding chemists and engineers to those interested in art and environmental issues. Super Science Saturday is a good day to go for a huge range of hands-on activities, including chemistry demonstrations, investigating light and rainbows, math challenges, making CD cars, a tornado in a bottle, balloon hovercrafts and kites, all things motors, and meet the creepy crawlies. It's a wonderful opportunity for families and individuals, all those with a curious mind, to dive into science through active participation. Fossils and more. Another strong focus on Super Science Saturday is geology, and we'll be looking at geological themes, making it particularly relevant to the Jurassic Coast's rich paleontological history. Talks and presentations include reconstructing past climates using data from the longest living animals and the recent discovery of the pliosaur skull in Dorset. These talks will provide fascinating insights into the Earth's history and the region's significant fossil discoveries. We have interactive games and fossil handling to help you learn more about paleontology, and the microscope displays give close-up views of rock samples which can reveal intricate details about their composition and formation. All about AI. Artificial intelligence and machine learning are technologies that are rapidly transforming various aspects of our lives, from the apps we use daily to advancements in medical diagnostics and ethical considerations. We have an illuminating afternoon looking at how they are shaping our future with talks by university lecturer Dr. Mossafar Kalemi-Harris and software researcher and engineer Dr. Michelle Fabienne-Bieger, ending with a question and answer session. Listen to a talk or take a walk. Talk by hosts of scientists take place throughout the week, covering both local and national topics, including a special focus on health, looking at brain health research, and also what happens to our muscles as we age. There's a talk on historical racism in medicine and overcoming medical disparities, and we look at sports, science, and nutrition. Other varied topics this year are heat pumps and moisture management in our homes, the storms that hit Sidmouth in 1894, 1994, and 2024, Devon's pioneering technologists and tackling plastic waste issues. Launch into space. The packed Family Fun Day at the Norman Lockyer Observatory on our last day offers a mix of fun and educational activities, all with an astronomical theme. Have a go at telescope viewing to explore the stars, planets, and other celestial objects. Or go to a planetarium show, an immersive experience teaching visitors about our galaxy, constellations, planets, and the broader universe. Learn about Norman Lockyer, a significant figure in astronomy, and his contemporaries, delving into their contributions to the field and their discoveries. You can have a go at building and launching your own model rockets, learning about basic physics and engineering. Build the fastest jet car in a creative engineering challenge where participants make a jet car using aerodynamics, streamlining its shape and adding accessories. It's a great way to introduce principles of physics and engineering in a hands-on manner. For younger children, there is storytelling and owls, a bit of nature mixed in with space theme, featuring live owls and information about their species and habits. Sidmouth Science Festival runs from Friday the 4th until Sunday the 13th of October. Most events throughout the week are free, but there is an entry fee for the Family Fun Day. For all details about the full programme, check the website sidmouthsciencefestival.org.
And now for a roundup of local sports news, starting with football. All three of the local Peninsula League East teams were involved in the second qualifying round of the FA Vars on Saturday, but only one of them went through to the next stage of the competition. Sidmouth Town were the successful side, beating higher league opposition Wellington, members of the Western League, 3-1. It was Wellington who went in front in the 19th minute when a deep cross was played back across the goal before being headed past Sidmouth goalkeeper Elliot Driver. After a switch in formation, Sidmouth were soon level. A Sam Hatswell free kick was cleared as far as the edge of the area, where Isaac Furness and Jamie Vaughan Ryle set up the scoring chance for Harry Saunders. Sidmouth led 2-1 soon after the break, Craig Veal netting from the penalty spot after the ball had been handled in the box following a long throw-in. Wellington hit back but found the Sidmouth defence uncompromising, before Ryan Gilpin put the tie to bed with a third goal after good work by Saunders and Louis Spalding. In the first round proper, Sidmouth have been drawn at home against Barnstaple Town, also of the Western League. The tie, one of 105 to be played across the country, takes place on October the 19th. Honiton Town, playing their first match at home in the Vars, went down 2-0 to Torpoint Athletic, who are also members of the Western League. The visitors, who had to replace their goalkeeper shortly before the start of the match, led 1-0 at the break with a good finish from Jed Smale, and they sealed the tie with a second-half goal by Gary Hurd. Dan Tavinder was named as Honiton's man of the match in what was an even, well-contested game, with the home side failing to take their chances. There were team-raising problems again at Axminster Town, who could not field a side for the tie at Elberton Villa. The match was therefore forfeited, with Elberton going into the next stage automatically and Axminster hoping to get back into action this week. Taylor Rook scored a hat-trick as Beer Albion put on much improved performance to take all 3 points in a 5-2 Devon League win at North Moulton. Beer created the better chances in an even first half, with Billy Knox especially unlucky when he hit both posts. The scores were level, 1-1 at a break, before the home side went 2-1 in front against a run of play. Some dubious decisions from the official then caused problems. A North Moulton defender was sent off with 20 minutes left, and from the free kick that followed, Beer got level. There was a further setback for the home side when another player was sin-binned and Albion exacted a full punishment with 3 quick goals. George Richards got the other 2 Beer goals and Taylor Rook picked up Man of the Match award for his treble. Elsewhere, Budley Salterton lost by the odd goal in 5 at Appledore and Ottery St Mary were beaten 2-0 at Dartmouth. In rugby, Sidmouth's unhappy lack of losing close games in South West 1 continued with a 38-30 home defeat by Marlborough. Having been pipped 34-32 at Ivy Bridge 7 days earlier, Sidmouth were looking to close out their first win since gaining promotion at the end of last season. Sidmouth came back from 24-12 down, coming up to the hour, to trail 31-30 with a minute to go, then paid the price for not looking after the ball. An opposing player got to a dropped ball first and scored the try that won it for Marlborough and denied Sidmouth the consolation prize of a losing bonus point. Glenn Channing, part of the coaching team at Sidmouth, said a third straight defeat was annoying on more than one level. "It's frustrating, as we should be talking about 3 wins out of 3, said Channing. "We have been in the games and let them slip away from us." Channing was curious about a seriously slanted penalty count that seemed to go unpunished by the referee. When the penalty count was 24-8 against Marlborough and no cards were issued, you have to question, what is it going to take to see them, said Channing. Sidmouth were behind in the game from the 7th minute onwards and trailed 17-12 at half-time. They were awarded a penalty try for a goal line offence and sent hooker Jeff Reid over from the line-out. 2 tries of Sam Heathcote nudged Sidmouth in sight of Marlborough after the break, and Jake Smith's kicks whittled away at the deficit a little more. It was Smith's penalty that cut the leeway to a point with less than 5 minutes on the watch to play. Well, that's all for this edition. My thanks to our readers, and our producer Peter Eagles, and our registrars John Dixon and Carol Laird. Should you have any problems with your equipment, please contact Wendy Eagles on 07552 766 382. May I remind you to ensure your wallet is returned promptly, and as we move on past the autumn equinox, you may wish to close your curtains any time after 6:50 p.m. and open them after 7 a.m. Finally, our thanks to the editors of the Sidmouth Herald, Express and Echo, Devon Life and One magazine, from which we have taken today's articles. You'll hear from this team again on the 19th of November, and until then, goodbye.